We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to another episode of In the Know. Pelicans just played the Pacers. They lost by a single possession, but who cares? It's madness out there. It has been an insane week. Mason, how are you?
Doing just fine. This is so weird, right? I mean, like, around this time last week, it was kind of a bunch of sadness throughout, just kind of the resignation of the fact that the Pelicans had failed to keep AD, and now it's just like it's hilarity at every turn. I mean, this whole saga has just been relentless, and I simultaneously can't wait for the trade deadline, and also I'm a little sad about the trade deadline because it means that this stuff at least pauses for a little bit. it's just chaos, right?
It's beyond chaos. It's amazing. Like, last week was probably the most depressing episode that we've recorded. We've had some bad ones. I think our first one was our second episode was the emergency podcast, and Boogie was a warrior. It's like, okay, that sucks.
Yeah.
But I think last week took the cake because it's Anthony Davis. You've spent 7 years building around this dude. He wants out. Like, it was depressing. I was sad. I was emotional. And it took me all of maybe 2 days to get over it. You know why? Because of Rich Stinkin' Paul. And all the shenanigans that they have pulled up until now. Like, I mean, I think even on that last podcast, I talked about how if they try to pull that crap about, we only want to go to the Lakers, that he deserves nothing from us. All bets are off. We play hardball, and we're going to send his ass to Minnesota.
And you know, this stuff's arguably worse. What came out today, it's like, it's almost like it's completely indirectly saying, I really want to go to the Lakers. It's almost like it's an insult to everyone's intelligence. What they said, it's like, oh yeah, we want to go to the Lakers, the Knicks, the Clippers, or the Bucks. And it's like, okay, first of all, you don't want to go to the Bucks. You just picked a random team that's good in a small market that can't trade for you. So cool. Congrats. And now, And now we're looking at three teams left. The Clippers, who also probably really can't put together a competitive package for him, or not to the level that you'd
no, they
want,
they can't trade. It's not realistic.
Yeah, it's not. And so now you're down to the Knicks and the Lakers. And it's funny because you see the spin coming out, even in what most of the stuff you read about how the Knicks really can't field a competitive offer. And so now, regardless of whether or not you think that's true, it's basically saying AD picked four teams, but he only really picked one team. I mean, it's insulting everyone's intelligence to say that. So it's silly.
It's absolutely hilarious. And the best part is that there's probably like everybody in AD's camp that thinks that, oh man, this should have worked. What's going on? Like, there's probably someone with AD that's like advising him that's probably like befuddled and like beyond himself. Yeah. Like,
and this isn't AD's, like, this isn't his lane. I mean, like, to act like this. And so he's relying on Rich Paul and Clutch to like help him get
help
this
LeBron
done.
Everyone knows it. Yeah. You know, someone brought up a really good point about the five teams that he mentioned. I can't remember who it was on Twitter, but someone said, oh, I bet AD's camp is just leaking that to throw off any tampering sense and any collusions. And I was like, okay, like, you know, that's kind of out there for conspiracy theories, but I can subscribe to it. Why not? It's utter madness right now. Anything could be possible. But you mentioned about all the spin and all the media stuff coming out. I want to talk about kind of like how the Pelicans turned this whole narrative on its head. Like, first, you know, we heard weeks of like, oh, Rich, not weeks of like, we had a few days, this all has developed super quickly. But, you know, we had a few days of Woj tweeting out that, oh, Rich Paul is talking to these teams, and any team that calls ADs in representation, they are told that he will not re-sign another contract with them. He's going to be a rental, so buyer beware, go get him at your own risk. And Davis only wants to go to the Lakers, and then they had most of last week was that kind of noise, right? And then Davis made a media appearance on Friday where it was the first time he was talking to Pelicans reporters since he requested the trade. You know, he's just been ducking everybody. And he said a whole bunch of nothing for 14 minutes. Like, he was like, I did not issue an ultimatum to the team. I do not have any preferred destinations. Just thought it was my time. Yada, yada, yada. It's like, okay, you're a liar. You're just a straight up liar. You've lied in front of everyone. I don't know why you're choosing to do this. This is not who you were for the last 6 years. You're trying to absolve yourself of any criticism, any responsibility in this mess, but you are the sole cause. Everyone that's working on your behalf is doing so with your knowledge. So you can't hide, dude. You can't. You're making yourself look like an idiot. And that's what he did. But he was like, nope, I didn't do any of this, even though we've heard it. Everything to the contrary. And then, you know, a few hours later, Anthony Davis's dad texts Ramona Shelburne, I will not let my son go to Boston ever. Just look how they handled Isaiah Thomas. And no loyalty, I think it was like what he ended with, exclamation points. So, again, a few hours ago, Davis said, we have no preferred destinations. Yet here is Anthony Davis's dad, Anthony Davis Sr., texting a national reporter who is, again, one of the Lakers. She reports more on the Lakers than other reporters do. Again, great reporter. Definitely has a lot of ties to the Lakers, but just very convenient that Anthony Davis's dad texts her that we do not want to go to Boston. So obviously Rich Paul and crew are trying to do everything they possibly can to scare off Boston's offer, because they know. Everyone knows, every single person around the NBA knows, outside of Lakers fans, that Boston's offer is just straight up better, and it's going to be straight up better than what the Lakers can offer. So they're doing everything they can. They've created this whole circus, and they're trying to dance around it. They're trying to roll around in the mud, and the Pelicans were like, you know what? Enough. We're tired of your crap. And so Friday night, the first tweet, I think it was Shams, it was something along the lines that sources say the Pelicans and Lakers discussions, the Pelicans have walked away from Lakers discussions thinking the offers are not even remotely serious or worth considering responding to. And then you know, everyone in Woj tweets the same thing, is like their offers have basically been crap. So I don't know about you, like I have those guys' notifications on my phone. So when that popped up, I was like, ooh, yep. Stuff getting juicy. because, you know, like all week I've had idiots tell me that, oh, Demps doesn't know what he's doing. They're just being petty and all these things. I'm like, y'all are just crazy. If the Pelicans liked what the Lakers had to offer, it would be a done deal. That's it. End
Although
of story.
At this point, I will say that if there was a tie and they looked at two offers and said, you know what? I'm not sure. They're not flipping a coin. They're probably not picking the Lakers.
No. Here's the thing. Is like, okay, yes, that's probably a component of it. But if you're talking about from a straight value standpoint, then you're always gonna pick the team that's like not in the West. Now, if both teams were in the West, then it kind of gets tricky, and you probably still say fuck the Lakers. But you know that's another conversation. Yeah. But at that time, they weren't being petty. They just didn't have anything worth responding to. If anything, the Lakers are just being idiotic. And so, you know, that was tweeted out. And then, like, literally, like, minutes later, they started naming names. They were like, Lakers have offered a combination of two of the young players and Rajon Rondo and Lance Stephenson. And then Woj tweeted a similar version of that, but it had, like, Michael Beasley in it. And it's like, are you serious? Like, is this the offer? And from that moment onwards, the Pelicans basically, I mean, these leaks are clearly coming from the Pelicans side. There's no way the Lakers are going to leak this, and obviously no one else has knowledge of the situation. This is from the Pelicans camp. If you guys can't put that together, here I am spelling it out for you. You're welcome. So the Pelicans are letting the world know, they're putting the Lakers on blast. They're naming names. And let me tell you something. When a player is named in trade talks, especially from like legitimate national reporters, all the players know that Woj and Shams are the main newsbreakers. When a player is named in trade talks, like, no one wants to be traded. Everyone wants to be wanted, and it messes with them. And so this is a situation that is not even close to being resolved, and all these players, basically I think 8 of the 15 Lakers players have been named as potential targets. You know? So the Pelicans very deliberately release that information to create chaos in the Lakers locker room. It's a clear destabilization tactic. It is also a clear shaming tactic. Like, Lakers, this is this organization that is so desperate for Anthony Davis, that has Rich Paul working overtime with hours that he should probably be billing to LeBron to get Anthony Davis on the Lakers, and that's the best they can do. And then it's also another message to LeBron, you know, like, assuming he's not in the know. We're going to assume he's not in the know, right? Because if he is, then, you know, you open up a bunch of other questions. We're going to assume that LeBron is letting the front office do their thing, and he's, you know, drinking wine somewhere. And you're sending a message to LeBron saying, your organization does not care about getting Anthony Davis and helping you at this stage in your career. You are 35 years old. You probably don't have that much time left playing at this high of a level. And your organization is literally offering offers that are just not even worth considering at all. So it's a multi-front message the Pelicans are sending with that. But they weren't done. The last thing that they tweeted, I think, like, put a whole bow on the situation. They said that, and this was Shams, and it was also our very own Will Guillory, that the Lakers have not included Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in discussions.
Which is hilarious for a lot of reasons.
Yes, for a lot of reasons. Let's talk about them, right? So one, it's like, really? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, this is a guy that you don't want to include? Okay, all right. And then two, you know, I think there's a lot of smart people out there that are going to be like, oh, they can't trade him. He has that one-year non-bird veto clause, the no-trade clause, or whatever he has. And it's like, oh, okay, so you're telling me that you as an organization, first of all, he gets a trade kicker if he gets traded. So it's in his best interest to get moved. He gets more money. But
you say that, but KCP is a guy who's already gotten paid out the nose courtesy of Clutch and Prawn. And I don't know if he really cares about a little bit more money when he's, you know, probably wants to compete for a title. I mean, Who knows?
Yeah, they're really competing for a title right now.
with AD, that's their plan.
Right. The clutch core.
KCP's gotten way more money than he ever possibly deserved. So
true. Good on Clutch for helping KCP there. But yeah. It's funny. It's like, okay, we won't include KCP because he has a no trade contract. It's like, okay, well, who would you have to go to talk about the no trade contract? Oh yeah, you'd have to go to his agent, which is Rich Paul of Clutch Sports. Funny. Why can't you talk to him? Oh, that's weird. He wants to get Anthony Davis, who's also his client, to a team with LeBron James on it, and he isn't willing to move Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, if Rich Paul really had Anthony Davis' best interest in mind, he would have no problem moving a lesser client like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, if he does have a problem, then AD has to really ask himself, like, okay, I'm Anthony freaking Davis. They can't move Kentavious for me? So I think it was a really masterful stroke by the Pelicans because it kind of told the world that the Lakers, A, are too scared to go to Clutch and try to get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in these trade discussions, or B, they know this all along, and it's Clutch that's running the show the whole time. So it just shows an extreme amount of organizational incompetence by the Lakers, who just have flubbed every part of this so far, including just starting with a massive lowball. Like, they are supposedly in the driver's seat, right? Yeah, those are the articles that we've read?
I don't even know if it's incompetence. I think it's just arrogance. I mean, when
it could be synonymous?
I guess it could be. But my thought is just like they don't consider it incompetent. They just consider it that we will get what we want at some point, whether it's now in a couple of days or whenever. We're not worried, and it's kind of surprising, but also not that surprising. I mean, I don't know. It's just the KCP thing too is just it's totally wild because you see all these different every other additional leak, you get a little bit more information on what's going on. And, you know, there's been a bunch of different potential trades reported out for so far, and who knows like what's real and what's not. But I mean, there's some serious hoops to jump through for any sort of Lakers trade that's going to take on Solomon Hill, like they're saying, if you're not going to put KCP in a trade. And so like, it kind of gets back to like, what's it worth to you, Lakers? And it's not a good look.
Not at all. And so it gets better. It gets better than this. So Sunday was the Super Bowl. Those of you who watched it, I'm sorry. I didn't watch it, but it sounded like a really crappy game. In any case, the good news, maybe the good news, I don't know, is that LA lost. They lost in an extremely embarrassing fashion. They scored 3 points. And right after that, during the Super Bowl, LeBron tweeted something of the sorts. He like tagged he tagged a bunch of reporters, and he was like Shams, Woj, McAmin, and whoever the other reporter was. I forgot who he tagged. He's like, "Where are y'all? Like, Thanks. say something." And first of all, that's hilarious because one, A, it's clearly a commentary on the football game. That's just boring. But B, like, it can easily be construed as, dang, LeBron really wants AD. AKA, dang, LeBron really wants to ship all these guys off of his team.
Yeah, right.
Like, okay. So, besides that, it was after the game, and clearly, you know, LA fans are upset that the Rams lost, so they have found a new thing to get behind, and their new thing was some random dude with like 2.5 followers on Twitter said, "Hey man, the Russian bots are at least a half a follower each." But some random dude was like, "Oh, the Pelicans and the Lakers are going to agree to a deal very soon." And so another guy like tweeted like it was going to be a three-way with Lonzo going to Phoenix and some other crap. And boy, did the Lakers fans get behind that. So I don't know if you guys, for those of you guys who are familiar with the website, reddit.com, there's subreddit. So the Lakers subreddit, It's basically a forum where they can discuss things. They had a sleepover party. We're like, we're not going to go to sleep. This trade's going to happen. We're going to just keep we're gonna keep refreshing. It's F5 season, so F5 is the key that refreshes your browser. We're not going to go to sleep. This trade's going to happen. And everyone's going to wake up. It's going to be announced by the morning. Done deal. And then it gets even better because they're talking about, oh boy, if we can pull this off without giving up Lonzo, if we can pull this up without giving Ingram, it's going to be amazing. Demps doesn't know what he's doing. And it's just like a progressive circle jerk of them convincing themselves this deal is done. And the best part is, they're like, do not listen to Woj or Shams. They are the Pelicans are in their ear. They're not reliable. Listen to Tania and Ganguly and Brad Turner. They are legit. And it's like, okay, yeah, Tania and Brad are doing a great job trying to cover this story. They're good LA reporters, but like, come on.
This is effectively Trump talking about Fox News.
Yeah, basically. Fake news. Basically what the Lakers fan base was doing. And
I get it for Woj because he's been on the outs with LeBron's camp for a while. But you know, they're basically saying whatever doesn't align with our best interests is fake news, right?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. And then the tweets started rolling out today. I can't even recap like all the tweets. It was, I think the first one was like, oh, the Pelicans. Yes, the first one was like the Pelicans and Lakers have had a few phone calls, and here's what the Lakers have offered. They've offered, it was like a slew of their young guys. It wasn't all of them. It was like their main ones. It was like Ball, Kuzma, and Ingram. Those are their main ones. And then two first-round picks, and then expiring salaries. And they were willing to take Solomon Hill's contract to offload it, right? And then, you know, obviously the Lakers reporters were like, this is everything that Demps has asked for, and picks, players, and cap relief. And, yeah. And you know, initially Woj was saying that there's we don't really know for sure how seriously New Orleans is considering this. They want, what they've made clear is they want a player with all NBA potential. And also picks and other things. But they want an all-NBA type player as a centerpiece of it. And he's like, do the Lakers have that guy? Is Tatum that guy? And, like, you know, Woj is very clearly, like, propping up the Celtics at this point. So it makes me think, like, the Celtics are either in his ear or the Pelicans are in his ear. But in any case, he's brought up the Celtics a few times. And it could be both. But he's essentially suggesting or asking if any of the Lakers guys are going to turn into that. And the resounding answer on Twitter is no.
And it's not just Pelicans fans who are tired of it. It's most people who follow the NBA in some capacity, right? That's the crazy part, is there's just some sort of conspiracy theory coming from Lakerland. And like, it's everyone else is just like, sorry, you guys players are just not that good. Like, they're fine. And you know what? 3-4 years from now, we could look back on this and say, man, whether it's Ingram or Ball, really turned a corner. I mean, look at D'Angelo Russell, who the Lakers traded away. I mean, you never know.
Of but all the players, time, he's the first person to make an All-Star team.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you never know. But at the same time, it's just you have a resounding message from most people who follow the league, you know, intensely, and it's that. They shouldn't take this package because there's no one who jumps off the page, and you should get somebody who jumps off the page for Anthony freaking Davis.
Yeah, it's like, what are you playing at, dude? You have LeBron and you have a chance to get Anthony Davis. You do it. That's it. Y'all are trying to play these games and you're using clutch to play more games, and now you're surprised that the Pelicans want to play hardball. Tough luck. But in any case, further recapping today. So the Lakers offer was out and everyone's like, oh, this is the Godfather offer. And I'm sitting here like, that's it?
Nah.
That's it? Like two picks? How are those picks going to be any good? Like this year, they probably, if they make the playoffs, okay, you know, that's like a number 18 or number 19 pick. Or if they don't make the playoffs, that's like a 14, 13, 15 pick. It's not a good pick. And then once they have Davis on the team, that future pick is going to be crap. So again, it comes down to, do you like those young players? The answer is no, I don't like those young players. And I don't think the Pelicans do either. But it wasn't too long. It wasn't too long afterwards where Woj and this time Shelburne as well started reporting that the Pelicans are just not interested in this offer. And Shelburne's like, this the negotiations are resembling what the Lakers had with San Antonio last year, in the sense that the Pelicans just they're left with the implication that the Pelicans just aren't going to take this. Yeah. And the meltdown has been spectacular. It's amazing.
Is Shelburne fake news now too?
No. They've moved on from that. They've accepted that the Pelicans do not like this offer, and they have moved on to bashing. They're bashing Dell Demps. So like, it's amazing. Let me try to find some of these comments and read these. But essentially, it's like they're calling Dell Demps an idiot. They are convinced that Danny Ainge is. Oh, I forgot about Danny Ainge. Woj tweeted today. Danny Ainge has been reaching out to Dell Demps and assuring him that, you know, there will be stuff on the table this summer. Just wait, you know, we'll find a deal that works. And boy, oh boy, are the Lakers fans so salty that the Celtics, A, have better offers, but B, that, you know, like this, it's starting to become a reality. Obviously, we're not home free yet, because it could be that the Lakers offer literally the 4 picks and 3 swaps, and the Pelicans are like, you know what, we'll take it. I wouldn't. That's me. I would still wait till the summer, but who knows? I'm not really the Pelicans.
So that's it. So if let's play it out just for a second. They offer every single young player they have, and every single pick and pick swap they can legally offer. So 4 first round picks unprotected, 3 pick swaps, Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, Hart. I don't remember who else they have, but all the cap gymnastics and roster gymnastics you have to do to make that trade work aside, if they came with all that, you still would say no.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to bet on LA being an awful team for the better part of the next decade. I'm not, especially if they get Anthony Davis and then they re-sign into another deal. I think what they were missing over the past few years was just that star. But once they have a star momentum, they're going to attract other stars. I'm just not taking that bet. And so you're telling me,
I'm not saying I will. Yeah, I'm not saying I will. I would. It's at least like worth thinking about, I think. And I'm not even.
I've thought about it. I've reached my conclusion. I don't want it.
Do you think the Pelicans would say no if they got that offer?
Would say no.
Yeah, do you think they would say, we're just going to wait till summer, bring that offer to us again in the summer? Do you think the Pelicans, forgetting what you or I would do, you think the Pelicans would pass it up?
Oh, they would pass it up for sure. They'd be like, oh for sure. I think they would still pass it up. Given all the reporting that's happening around Danny Ferry and Dell Demps and the organizational unity on not really doing this now, I think that they pass it up.
It's been a consistent message. So, I mean, like that.
Here's what I think. I think it gets tricky when you move Lonzo to another team and get other assets. Like, if you can get – now, like, if one of those picks is Phoenix's pick unprotected this year, game changes.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you know, I think it's really difficult. And 99 versions out of 100 of those I say no to. So, gonna say no. In any case, Woj tweeted out that, you know, Ange has been talking to Demps, and Shelburne's like, this isn't gonna happen. And Lakers fans are like, Danny Ange is gonna fleece you. You guys really trust Danny Ange? Trader Danny, we're gonna trust him? They're not even gonna put Tatum on the table. It's like, yeah, okay. Keep telling yourself that, guys. Like, man, the reaction has been hilarious.
Regardless, like, it's not like the Pelicans are just like, oh, good thing we have Danny Ainge in our back pocket, and there's certainly no other option we possibly could have than trade with the Celtics. I mean, there are other teams in the NBA, and granted, we all have known for a while that the Celtics have the best possible group of assets they can put on the table for AD, but, I mean, there's still other options very much in play this summer, and you have more information. You have more teams that can bid. It's silly. It's fun to boil it down to one. It's always fun to, like, blame one thing or point to one thing, Danny Ainge or Dell Demps. And it's just like, that's so narrow minded. Like, there's so many other you know, factors at play that
I have countless Lakers fans in my messages on Reddit telling me that we are going to lose Anthony Davis for nothing. Because in their mind, if you don't take the Lakers offer, which their godfather offer, right, then no other team is going to offer you anything. Because that's how the NBA works. If you put a 25-year-old top five player on the market and you don't send him to the Lakers, then you know what? No other team is allowed to have him either. Right? Does that make sense to you?
It's sound logic, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So now, okay, we've talked about the Lakers quite a bit, just because that's kind of all there is to talk about at the moment. But Let's assume we make it to Thursday and nothing happens, right? Let's operate off that assumption. Which, by the way, like our very own Fletcher Mackel has been reporting a lot of things today. And those things he's getting from the organization basically coincide with everything that we've heard, that the Pelicans have no intention of doing a deal. Not no intention, but it's extremely unlikely a deal happens by Thursday. But, you know, let's say we reach Thursday. We have a couple things we need to sort out. One is the whole, what are you doing with the AD?
Yep.
What would you do? You playing him? You sitting him? You banishing him? You sending him to LA? What are you doing?
So we had this conversation last week, and I was of the opinion that it's a bad look to sit him if he wants to play. And while I still feel like that's true, the idea has kind of permeated the basketball world of like, what should the Pelicans do? And it seems like by and large, people kind of agree that they should just send him home. And me seeing that and kind of seeing how that hasn't been met with just like pure fire and no real outward like bursts against the concept, I'm more at peace with the situation. Obviously, it makes total sense for all basketball reasons. Pelicans stink. They play their young players more. They get a better draft, better lottery odds. Anthony Davis doesn't get hurt. You keep your prized asset healthy. It makes all the sense in the world. So as long as they're not going to, the team's not going to take a hit from a PR perspective or from like a players association perspective, I'm cool with it. It's just there's still that concern in my mind that
you know who we have to thank for this? You know who we have to thank for getting all the media and everyone on this side?
No. Who?
Rich Paul. If he hadn't tried to do all these underhanded things and create a giant circus, people would be on AD's side. People were on AD's side. Everyone supported AD's desire to get out of here. Because, hey, it's time. Sure. Everyone recognized that. You're a superstar. You got to do you. You got to do what's best for you. If you had just been patient, if you had just been amicable about this breakup, if you had not gone to the media and try to play everyone and deter and ruin any leverage that the Pelicans could have had, then, hey, people would have been on your side. People would have been like, the Pelicans are the villain here. They messed up as an organization first, and now they're holding Davis hostage. That would have been the narrative. But Rich Paul made sure the Pelicans came out on top. He played himself. Congratulations, you played yourself. Hilarious. Okay, so I pulled up a Reddit thread, and this is Shelburne's thread. So the tweet is Shelburne, yes. So far, the Lakers have felt conversations with New Orleans have been one-sided, and they are growing increasingly pessimistic about the Pelicans' willingness to deal with them. Top comment. It's not happening. We got played. From a Lakers fan. And then a Knicks fan right under him is like, they were honey-dicking the Lakers. Oh, and then there's a Bucks fan. Amazing. Amazing that all these teams that have been mentioned today are 1, 2, 3, right under responding to the Knicks fan. It's like, no big deal. The Lakers can just wait till 2020 to free agency to sign him. LeBron will only be 36. Plenty of time left.
I mean, he might be a cyborg, so that, I mean, that thought process has merit, but if he's not actually a cyborg or an alien, then he's going to, even LeBron is going to regress at some point.
Oh, man, this is amazing. And then there's a slew of comments talking about how the Pelicans are going to get bamboozled by Danny Ainge. And it's honestly amazing to watch. I don't understand what these people think. And I figured there'd be like a lot more people happy about this, but it's really all Lakers fans because they have a ginormous fan base, probably the biggest on Reddit. And they're just, here's one. Enjoy getting fleeced by Danny Ainge when he pulls Tatum off the table knowing we're out of the bidding. Del Demps is such an idiot. By Lonzo BBB Ball.
Wait, okay.
Big Baller Brand.
No, Ball. Big Baller Brand Ball.
It's Big Baller Ball. Big Brand Ball? It's BB Ball. I don't know, man.
Who knows?
I feel like I lost some brain cells trying to figure that out.
Oh, man.
Ainge isn't giving him a straight answer about Tatum right now, and Demps expects an honest and fair deal in the summer out of the Celtics. This is childishly naive. Keep telling yourself that. Oh, man, this is amazing. I wish I had the time to respond to all of these.
With the exact same response to everybody.
Cry some more.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so we talked about sitting AD or not. The next order of business is whatever. Let's assume we sit AD. Even if we don't, whatever. You make it to the summer, and the Celtics are now on the table. Do you believe that the Celtics are just going to give up everything?
No, absolutely not. I don't. I mean, obviously it depends on what you consider everything, but I mean...
So, okay, let's start from each step. Is Tatum going to be in the offer?
I think eventually he is.
Eventually? You don't think he's in the offer right off the bat?
No, I mean, I don't see why they... I don't see... I mean...
It's just pulling the Lakers. Position. They're doing a low ball.
Sure, but they're not. But their low ball is still not the Lakers' low ball. The Lakers' low ball is pure garbage.
I mean, I feel like Brown and picks is...
At least they have other teams' picks. For sure. But at least they have other teams' picks that are not, you know, end of the first round. And so, I mean, they've got a... Their low ball is still a higher starting point than the Lakers, and I think that's where it starts. But I think Tatum goes on the table eventually. I mean, that's...
Okay. I think Tatum's on the table right off the bat. I think the haggling point is Brown.
Go ahead, you're optimist.
I think Tatum and picks are on the table, and the haggling point is Brown. Do you think what are the odds you would put for both Tatum and Brown?
I think if the Knicks win the lottery, I think that's what happens.
Okay.
Because that suddenly they're scared. I mean, if the second the lottery happens, if the Knicks win it, the Celtics are terrified. The Lakers are probably like, well, we're screwed. And so you've got a Celtics versus Knicks bidding war, and the Lakers are a distant third at that point. But I think it comes down to it, the Celtics can be hard pressed to top the Zion pick. But if that doesn't happen, if the Knicks get something closer to five than one, I'm not sure if I don't think they put everything on the table, the Celtics.
Okay. I do think that the Celtics are likely not going to trade both Tatum and Brown. I do think that is wishful thinking on the Pelicans' part. But if they think, like you said, if Kyrie is a threat to Bolt, they need AD. They need him. In any case, I think Tatum's in the deal. And I think picks are in the deal. Salary filler.
No Gordon Hayward, please. No.
No Gordon Hayward on your part. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I guess it's a situation where the Pelicans could be in a position to take the chance, but he's not been good this year, and he's getting paid a lot of money.
If you had a pick between Horford or Smart, and you could only have one, who would you pick?
The Smart's got. So he's.
You're thinking.
That's tough.
Horford has 1 year left, basically. He has a player option this year. He has to he's presumably going to opt in.
Yeah, $30 million. I think he'll opt in. I mean, I think you take Smart. I think the pairing of him and Tatum with Drew is very enticing to me on the defensive end of the floor. And he's just a guy that he seems to make that team kind of tick. Like
he's an engine.
Yeah.
And so I'll be honest. I would prefer Smart over Brown.
I do not think I share that.
I think Smart gives you a cost-controlled, long-term backcourt partner for Drew. You have your starting backcourt, period, and then obviously Tatum as your starting small forward. I think Brown is potentially going to be very good. I think he also needs to be paid in about a year, and I think he's going to be paid more than Smart would be paid. And so if they came to me and they said, here's Smart, Tatum, and picks, I would take that if it rather than Tatum, Brown, and then one pick.
I think in that situation, I'd rather take Brown. If I'm not worried about it, I'd try to work a third team into the deal. So I'd still take, I think, because I think straight up Brown's a better asset than Marcus Smart to most teams in the league, and so therefore I would go with
Brown. Fair enough. And try to flip him. I think it's very fair.
That's a valid concern you said too about the contract.
I hate playing against Marcus Smart, but I love his fire.
Yeah,
and I think
you know that 36.7% 3-point shooting is not sustainable this year.
I don't care about that. To me, it's the defense, the rebounding, the tomfoolery. He's just he's a clown, and it's really funny, and he gets on people's nerves.
Yeah.
And just the hustle, and I think he's a pretty vocal and fiery leader. I've long wanted to pair Pat Beverly with Drew Holiday, but Smart would be insane.
Wait a second, hold on, time out. Jeremy or J Dub, one of our local fans, big time Bourbon Street Shots here. I think we answered one of his questions on one of the recent podcasts. Apparently, Woj just said Dell Demps wants 4 firsts, some seconds, and all the players.
That's amazing. Wait, Woj said that? Where?
Yeah, apparently just now. I don't know.
4 firsts, some seconds, and all the players. Hell yeah. Good. Good. Get every single one of them picks. Get all them swaps. Get all them players.
I'm trying to find it validated by someone else, but I'm assuming you wouldn't just make that up, so. Good. Yeah, exactly. Do you, Dell?
All pressure on the Lakers. That's the organizational motto right now. They do not want to be toyed with. They have bad history with LA. Obviously, the football side has bad history with LA. Recent history. They're not going to mess around. And here's the thing. I think that AD requesting this trade now has done wonders for this organization from an introspective standpoint. Here's why. I think that if Davis had done it in the summer, I think they likely would have fired Dell and whoever, Gentry, gotten a new GM, made him do his hire, and then gotten him to do his thing and still taken a back seat, kind of just watched from afar. But the fact that the Heat Davis did it now, I think every single person in the organization is involved. I think they are extremely invested in this. They do not want to look like fools, because again, when Davis asked out, the initial narrative was the organization failed. Right? It was an organizational failure that led to this situation, 7 years in the making. And there was all this stuff about, oh, the Pelicans are second fiddle to football and yada, yada, yada. And I think that really stung them.
Yep.
And I think they care and they want to change that image. And I think they're taking steps towards changing that image. And I think you're going to see a restructure next year. And I think you're going to see them being more front-facing. I think they're going to engage the media more. I think there are changes coming. And I want to thank Rich Paul. This dude is literally building our franchise while destroying the Lakers. It's amazing. Oh my goodness, it's honestly amazing. I think we got sidetracked a little bit. We were talking about Smart and Horford and them. I think if we were able to get Tatum, Smart, and Horford, I'm obviously being a wishful Laker fan here, but if that was the core of the deal, right? Horford, Tatum, Smart, and then whatever picks, I think you'd have hell of a team next year.
You're keeping, are you keeping any of the current players in that?
Meritage, for sure.
Nico?
Yep. And I think, you know, Etuan would be an expiring at that point. You keep him on the bench. No reason not to. Right? I think you try to bring back Payton. Yeah. I haven't done the math to crunch the cap, but I figure you'd be, like, probably a little bit under it because you're still moving a lot out. Right, I think you're in that event. You're probably moving.
Are you getting rid of Hill in this trade with the Celtics?
Or probably.
Okay.
Or he's rerouted to a third team, whatever. Like they use one of their own picks, like that's going to be the 25th pick, and move into a third team. Fine. Which they don't need a pick to move him. He'll be an expiring, but whatever. They might want him to be on the team as salary base so they can in-season upgrade. Who knows? Think the Knicks are going to get into it without the number one pick?
It's like a... It's rolling odds based on what pick they end up getting, right? I mean, I haven't done the draft research, which is weird that we actually have to do that this year. But
dude, they shut down Draft Express. How am I gonna do this?
Didn't it migrate over to ESPN?
Yeah, it's all paid for now, right?
Yeah. And so yeah, I mean it depends on what, you know, what the draft looks like, if there's what, you know, the top couple picks outside of Zion, if they feel like those are legitimate franchise changing players. Obviously not like Zion would be, but I mean, they'll get into it. I think they'll put together their whatever they can, assuming they, you know, can get. I mean, if they don't get KD, and then I think they're kind of boned as far as. And they probably, I don't know if they would trade for AD. Well, I guess AD said he would resign, so I think regardless, they'll throw something out at the Pelicans. But if the lower that pick falls, the harder it's going to be to put together a real enticing package, although the Porzingis trade did help.
Do you care about any other teams at all getting in on this?
It's a good question. Potentially. I mean, I do think Denver can put together some sort of interesting package.
Nah, I'm not interested.
This is not first, second, or third to me, but so let's say, so perfect storm of shit happens. You have Kyrie says before the draft lottery, I'm out, I'm going to New York or whatever it is. He's clearly out of Boston. The Knicks get like the fourth pick in the draft. Suddenly Lakers fans are all laughing at us saying, ha, now what are you going to do? What's your move? Like that's clearly that's the worst case scenario.
The Knicks get fourth in the draft. I mean, I think you still engage them. They have a lot of picks. They can offer a lot of their own. If you can get them to do a Lakers style deal, I trust them to be more of a failure than the Lakers in the next 6 years. And then they have all the Dallas picks and they still have young players. I think you still engage them. If you can get them to give up multiple picks, just like the Lakers are offering right now, mm-hmm. you do it. I mean, you engage them. You put them against Boston and you tell them, like, The Pelicans really believe that these new future Knicks picks are going to be really valuable. They're banking on yada, yada, yada. You do it.
Yeah, I think I'm there. I'm just trying to figure out what's the fail. And this is something I'm sure the team's considering.
How can
like,
this blow up on the Pelicans? Is that your question?
Yeah, it's what's the, well, not just how it can blow up, but like what's the fail safe in case of the worst case scenario? Because I think that is, like, that's, I'm not sure how things can go further south than that. Because like if Kyrie's saying they're walking, the Celtics suddenly are like, well, shit. Maybe now
even more of a chance they used to. I think the Celtics do not even let this get to the point where Kyrie says he's walking. Okay. I think the moment, like, you know, this is like draft night I'm talking about, right?
No, I thought you were going to say the day after the trade deadline, or the minute after the trade deadline, Celtics released like this, like they pushed something out to Shams or Woj.
There was some funny stuff.
What the offer is going to be.
Yeah, I know. There was some funny stuff flying around where I think it was McNamara or someone else that suggested that the Celtics do a goodwill trade with the Pelicans right now at the deadline. Like,
yeah,
you know, Randall for Rozier or some crap like that. Yeah. That would be funny. But no, I think first of all, I'd be surprised.
Isn't that kind of Spider-Man meme? looking at net ratings and stuff with Rozier versus Randall, I feel like that's the guard version of the and forward version of the same player.
No, I don't want to pay Rozier next year at all. He can walk.
Yeah, exactly.
But what was I going to say? I think that I don't know. I think the Celtics are in it. I think they're going to do it near the draft, especially when the picks are picks and not names. And we'll see. I think the draft lottery is going to be very telling.
Yep.
Anywho, sure. I think this should wrap up our pod. Kind of covered all that we needed to.
Yeah. So before we go, and we'll be back Thursday after the trade deadline. So you only get to be spared of our voices for a couple of days, and then we'll talk about if anything else. Given that we both feel like we're pretty confident that AD's probably going to be around the rest of the year. Maybe some other guys get traded. So we'll talk about that and probably all the other moves around the NBA, because it could be very quiet or could be crazy. You kind of never know these days. But before we wrap up, just want to shout out. We're no longer the only New Orleans sports podcast on the Blue Wire Network. We got Saints Talk with Nick Underhill and Kevin Washington. They just joined. They've got their most recent pod up about Saints free agents, who's staying, who's going. But they're both great. Nick's actually a pretty big basketball fan, although he won't want anyone else to say that to say that, because I think he has enough to deal with just football takes and his mentions. But good guy, good podcast. Make sure to check it out, New Orleans sports fans.
We should get him on here and see what he thinks about LA.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be fun. There's definitely no bad blood there between New Orleans and Los Angeles for football reasons.
Anywho, thanks for listening, folks. Hope you had a good time.